Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. We continue the week here at the NFL Experience in Los Angeles, site of Super Bowl 56, just a couple of days away from the game. And a man who knows a thing or two about playing in Super Bowls, a thing or two about winning Super Bowls, a thing or two about being one of the best running backs of all time, still the all-time leading NFL rusher, Emmitt Smith. Great to see you, pal. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you doing today?
Good. You know that record's never going to be broken.
Well, we don't know. We'll see. They said it wasn't going to be broken before.
Yeah, but it's not going to be broken now. The game's changed. The game's changed too much.
The game has changed. It really has. The game has become a little bit more open, a lot more passing. They're doing a lot of things to protect players, and so therefore even pitch counts for running backs are starting to get calculated into the equation. So, yes, it has changed. But still, somebody out there may come around and do that and break it.
We love talking to you every year, and I remember you telling us previously you want to be alive when it happens.
Yes, I would love to.
Because Walter Payton wasn't there when you broke
right,
his record,
right,
and it would mean a lot to you to be able to pass the torch.
Be able to pass the torch, just like I do with my son and my kids. At some point, we have to give them permission to move forward and to become their own men and women. And with this, I wanted Payton to be there because I already had his permission to go and break the record, but I wanted him to see it happen, celebrate with me so I can honor him at the same time. And hopefully that can happen for me.
Is there anyone you're watching now in today's game that you think maybe this guy has a chance?
No one's close yet. I mean, when Adrian was still playing, I was thinking that he would have a chance. Even Frank Gore.
Frank Gore surprised a lot of people.
He surprised a ton of people. And so the game, you have to have longevity and good fortunes to be on quality teams to where you can amass a number of yards but stay healthy throughout the whole entire process.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And with the push to keep quarterbacks healthy, the rule changes and the implementation of the rules in a way where you see the flags fly all the time for roughing the passer. They want to keep the quarterbacks healthy. They want it to be a passing game.
Right.
And it's just evolved away from the way it used to be.
But like things do evolve and they do go away, but yet they find a way back to where they originated at some point.
Who do you like watching run the ball?
There's a ton of guys out there. I'm going to probably leave some names out, but obviously my boy Zeke and Tony Pollard, Derrick Henry, Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara. I'm enjoying watching Cam Akers run the rock right now. Minnesota running back.
Oh, Dalvin Cook.
Dalvin Cook. And even I'm waiting to see Saquon Barkley come back into the fold. I know last year was his first year back, and he suffered a real bad high ankle sprain. But I still think he's a guy to watch.
But that was the thing that set you apart. And the game was even more brutal and physical than it is today.
And that's not water that Emmett's drinking, and I'm going to have my sip, too, here in a little bit. That's straight out of the bottle, just cracked, and I've smelled it. It is not a prop. It is real. It is going to be a good day here at the NFL Experience. You were durable. You were durable. You had all the skills.
Yeah.
You could run. You could move. You could slip through a crack, but you always kept going. Was it will? Was it the way your body's made? Because even today when the game isn't like it used to be,
right,
guys get injured all the time. Yeah. How did you keep going every year?
I think it's a combination of all the things that you did mention, but also it's the behind-the-scenes hard work and taking care of my body, getting the proper rest, trying to eat right. Way before eating right and doing those things have become very popular now. I've incorporated a number of different things within my regimen to keep my body healthy so it can perform at the optimal level. Now, grace and mercy is the thing that kept me away from the big, big injury. Durability is something that I've always have taken pride in. The one thing about a professional athlete, he or she must be available in order to do the things that I have accomplished. No availability, you're losing out on your opportunities to achieve a level of greatness for yourself. And so for me, I just feel very fortunate that I, my body was built the way it has been built. It performed the way it needed to for me for 15 years in the National Football League, as well as even the high school, including college. I was thinking about this the other day without understanding the total carries I had in college. But in high school, I think I had over 3,000 carries or something like that. And with the pros, I had over 4,000 carries. So Derrick Brooks and I were just talking about how long I've been carrying the ball.
Well, and one way to ensure that the creaky joints stay lubricated.
Oh, yeah.
Is with
Herradura.
A moderate amount of Herradura.
Drink it.
I like how you said it. I don't say it as well as you say it. You say it again. Herradura. I like how you say it.
Herradura.
Herradura.
Yes.
This really isn't. I mean, it's 9 a.m. Pacific time, but it is 5 o'clock somewhere, specifically in London, where we have plenty of friends watching the program on Sky Sports.
Yeah,
I'm going to give it a little try here.
I must add this.
Oh, that is good.
If you don't do it today, National Tequila Day.
That is good.
And National Tequila Day is coming up 22. That is National Tequila Day. So you can go ahead and get this Ultra Añejo and take a shot on me.
Why did I get the big glass?
Why did you get the big glass?
Because you
only had one white glass over there. You only had one, so I had to get your glass up out of the way. So I figured I'd give you the.
You're going to be sipping on it all day. Well, I'll nurse this for a while. You can give me a little more before you go, and I'll have something to keep me looking.
No, this is yours.
Oh, wow.
This is yours.
Oh, wow.
This is yours.
All
I brought it for you, but I figured I'd crack it open and drink one with you.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate it. Yeah. Let's talk Cowboys. We may need a few more of these before we talk Cowboys.
If we want to talk Cowboys, we need some right now.
what I said after they lost to the 49ers.
Yeah.
Chris Sims and I do the show every day, and I said, Chris, you know, if you'd have told me after Super Bowl 30, when you guys won your third in 4 years, that 26 years later the Cowboys will not have even made it to the NFC Championship, I would have said, you're crazy. You're nuts. You're nuts. 26 years?
Mm.
How in the world has this team not made it back, not even to the Super Bowl, to the game before the Super Bowl in 26 years?
Well, that's a very, very good question. When I think back over the 26-year time frame, I think the Bill Parcells coach team, may have been the closest. If not, it may have been Wade Phillips' team when Romo and Dez supposedly did not make the catch in Green Bay. Those are the two teams that had the chances to do that. This team now is definitely poised for a level of greatness. What do I mean by that? They have the talent. They have the skilled players. Dak has a ton of weapons. I would upgrade on the tight end spot because we need a guy that can really create some running lanes on the outside and push somebody off the ball or either win a neutral. Offensive line needs to come together a little bit more and be a lot more healthy. Now, with that said, we have to run the ball better. We definitely have to run the ball better. And I think the better our line get, the better our running backs will become. I think when you starting to have guys moving around a lot, you don't develop the consistency that you need to have up front in order to gain the confidence of the running back that these guys are going to move a certain way and move how much are they going to move. Now, if you're getting pushed back the whole time, it makes it tough on everybody. Now, on the defensive side of the ball, We talked about how the game has changed. The game has changed on the defensive side of the ball, where the DBs don't have a chance in hell of defending the wide receiver in this game, because the game is leaning toward high-scoring offenses. Anytime a defense even sneezes on a player, it's a flag.
We saw it at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we saw it in Thanksgiving. And then when it comes down to making mental errors, our Cowboys are jumping off sides at the wrong time. Our Cowboys are getting holding penalties at the wrong time, doing stupid things that hurts us. So we're killing ourselves. I don't care how talented of a football team we are. We don't have the mental discipline or the sure will to get better every game and eliminate these little fine little things. We won't be.
Where does that come from? Who do we point to and say?
It goes straight across the board from the coaching staff all the way down to the players. The players have to buy into the system, and they also have to develop a self-discipline, because you have to be focused on the football field. You got to be paying attention. You got to know what the down and distance are, and when are you going? I mean, instead of jumping, paying attention, focus in, laser focus, because you're going to see that come Sunday. These two teams have not made as many mistakes in the playoff as our Cowboys did. 11 penalties in one game. 11.
Everyone thinks that it's just a matter of time before Jerry shoots his shot with Sean Payton. Do you think it's inevitable?
No, you know, I think so far, I mean, we have the staff still intact. Quinn was a big, big, huge addition. We needed to shore up that defense. And our defense, and Micah Parsons, and the way that they're playing, they had one heck of a season. Now, we still didn't stop the run as well as we should have, but we had a heck of a season. Offensively, we sputtered. We showed a little bit of inconsistency, and I think, offensive play selection at times really hurt us. We did not use as much creativity that we could have used in order to create more issues for the defense. We got, I mean, think about it. We have 4 or 5 wide receivers, man. Not to mention Tony Pollard coming out of the backfield and Zeke coming out of the backfield. So you actually have 5 or 6 guys that you could actually move around and do crazy stuff with. When I look at the Rams offense, they move around a lot, but they ain't doing too much stuff that's so fancy. But the Chiefs, on the other hand, they're very creative. Very creative offensively. And I think Kellen Moore can be very creative as well. But I want to see it more consistently.
Who you like on Sunday?
Well, I wish I could say I like the Cowboys, but they're not here. You know, I like Matthew Stafford because he's a Dallas kid. And I'm an NFC guy. And I've always wanted to go with the NFC team. Joe Burrows, on the other hand, I think he has the potential to be the next Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. I really do. And I believe that when I saw him in this first year at LSU, and his second year was phenomenal at LSU. But this game here, they say defense wins championships. And I think the Rams' defense is solid enough to where they can do it. The run game on the Rams' side, Cam Akers, I think, has a chance to have a big, big game.
That's the key. 9 sacks allowed by the Bengals against the Titans. Well, the Rams are going to bring it. And we've seen it in a few Super Bowls in recent years where that pass rush overwhelms the opposing offense. And that's the difference. Whether it's the Panthers the Broncos over the Panthers 7 years ago. Last year, the way the Buccaneers harassed Patrick Mahomes. I feel like it's going to be like that too. But we'll see. The thing with Joe Burrow, and you're right, he's got that Tom Brady magic to him. And I think if the Rams don't knock him out and let him hang around,
yeah,
they may take it.
I agree. You give these guys are fighters.
Yeah.
And they won't quit.
Well, you let this hang around, and I am going to take it.
Well, it's yours. It's yours.
I am taking it. I know. I'm just making sure.
Just don't drink it all.
I won't.
If you don't drink it all in one setting, you'll be fine.
I wouldn't have a job. I wouldn't have a life come tomorrow if I didn't know. Always drink responsibly, but you'll appreciate it. Say it again. I like how you say it better than I say it. And it's awesome. It really is good. I'm not just saying that because I'm getting a free bottle. I wouldn't take it if I didn't like it. Emmett Smith, great seeing you as always.
Thank you.
And we look forward to talking to you again.
Yes, sir. Be good.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Welcome back to the NFL Experience in the Los Angeles Convention Center, site of Super Bowl 56. Joining us now, a guy who spent 16 years as head coach of the New Orleans Saints, the speculation is already rampant as to when he will be coaching again. But for now, we have him here. He's part of the media, unofficially and soon officially. Sean Payton, welcome back.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. It's good to be back and kind of back into a normal Super Bowl media row, if you will.
You've got this fascination with the media, and I assume that you will be able to pick and choose your offers. But I almost feel like your curiosity has taken over. Like, you know, I've done football from this other angle my whole life. I kind of like the idea of being able to look at it through a different lens.
Yeah, look, I feel that way. I'm excited. There's a little bit of that unknown. My first time going through this and, 33 years now I've coached, and 16 at the same team here in the NFL as a head coach. I had that moment two days ago where I was visiting with a network and the Uber driver dropped me off, and I just got out and I had like this new sport coat I had bought, and I walked up to the gate and all of that was like completely foreign to me. And then, you know, met somebody that took me to the room and had a great visit with some really neat folks. But the point is, it was clearly out of what would be my comfort zone, and that would be looking at Senior Bowl tape right now, getting ready for the combine. And it's an entirely different change, and, you know, something that you look at as a challenge because you want to be successful at it.
Do you want to do games? Do you want to do studio? What's your preference?
I asked that question twice now, and with the idea that I really want them to say, hey, this is where we want to put you, and then go do that.
What about weekday stuff? Because there's a whole week between games where there's plenty of discussion, and you're great at breaking down what happened, talking about what went right, talking about what went wrong. And I know you don't want to work as hard as you did coaching, and I know how hard you worked, and the human body isn't meant to do that, but you're going to realize if you're just working on Sundays, and you're going to put the work in during the week, but there's Monday through Friday, there's hours there where you could be generating content as well. I feel like once you dip your toe into it, you're going to realize I like this, and you're going to be looking for more avenues.
Yeah, it sounds like an offer or an opportunity.
We can have the conversation.
Yeah.
I said to Ron Rivera earlier, and you'll hear Ron Rivera if you're watching the show. This is I'm a professional. Ron Rivera is coming up, but you'll hear me tell Ron Rivera at the end of the interview, Chris Sims wasn't able to be here today. He's been Wally Pipped, but I don't know. Maybe we can leverage Ron Rivera against Sean Payton.
Listen, we absolutely can. That's what a capitalistic economy does.
That's right.
It's easy to say. Mr. Benson, the late Mr. Benson, would always tell me, hey, the whole retirement thing everyone sells you on TV is overrated. You know, you want to get up in the morning with a purpose, something to do, and clearly I'll feel that way. Like already there's some things that happen back at home, and they happen. And look, everything moves, and it moves on either, you know, with or without you. And right away there's that emptiness, like, I didn't see the Senior Bowl film. I don't have the calendar that we normally have this time of the year, and that calendar tells us here's February, here's March owners meetings, here's April draft, here's May minicamp OTAs, here's June minicamp, here's start of training camp. It takes us all the way to the start of the season, and we stop there only because we want to see who we're playing, when we're playing. And you're so driven by that these 2 weeks have been like, all right, I got to return a car. It's Dennis's car now, and yeah. I asked Mickey. I said, "Hey, I'm going to get this car back to you." And he's like, you know, you get whenever you take it as long as you need it." And then I'm like, "All right, what does that mean? How long is that? Is that like in weeks?" I've got to get it, you know, a health insurance plan now. You know, that you just normal things that you haven't even given any thought to maybe for the better part of, you know, a third of your life. Change address, all the things that you do when you have to move. And it's such a real answer. There's no, you know, that's exactly, you get up in the morning and my mind's racing, like relative to the address changes, getting back to people, helping, you know, some of the coaches that are still looking for work in our league that have opportunities. And then doing these other things.
But you seem invigorated by it. That's what's so encouraging.
Yeah.
You're embracing it with the same zeal that you've embraced everything you've ever done.
Yeah. I believe that there's a tremendous power in the fear of failure. And I don't say that in a negative way, but man, you don't ever want to not succeed. And so I'm kind of, I think, a glass half full guy, or someone that looks at things, you know, with a positive lens. But I also recognize, you know, that there's an easy eye to what you see people do in media, and you take it for granted. And then when you really get down to it, you're like, man, it's difficult and it's challenging, and you want to be really good at it.
The Saints moving forward with Dennis Allen as the head coach. And I know that one of the things you said during your farewell press conference, you want to be sure that you left the team in a better spot than when you found it. And when, I mean, the organization, the city, everything was in a very bad spot. I mean, you took it from the lowest of the lows to the highest of the highs. How do you feel about the team moving forward with Coach Allen taking over?
I think real good, and I know that Dennis and Mickey, our GM, feel the same way. There'll be some cap issues they'll deal with. Mickey, Kai, those guys have done a great job.
Mickey always figures it out.
Yeah.
Every year there's cap issues and Mickey figures it out.
Well, and look, when people discuss that, ultimately it's, we think we can win. You know, this idea, I'm going to say it because it drives me crazy, this idea of tanking games to get the best player in our league is mythical. Like, in other words, you can't show me an example where that's happened, where it's because you can't turn off and turn on winning.
Except at halftime of week 17 in 2014.
No, it happens.
When you were playing, yeah.
No, I'm not saying it doesn't happen. The idea that it benefits you as a club.
No, I agree with that.
Yeah, you sell your locker room soul, you sell. And so we've seen it. We played Tampa Bay, and it happened. We all watched the Eagles a year ago with Peterson coaching and a substitution. But that's flawed thinking, and I have no problem saying that. It's not the NBA. And all you have to do is say, all right, let's look at the last 25 Super Bowl winners. And someone might say, well, they've had a quarterback. Yeah, but they've learned to win. And you don't just turn that button on and say, we drafted our quarterback, guys. Now we're going to win. Now, because you're trying to win at everything the moment you start building a program. And so I think that's I'm critical of that. That's flawed front office theory.
Right. Well, but let's go back to 2014, week 17. You're playing the Buccaneers. They are one loss away from nailing down the first overall pick so they could secure Jameis Winston. They're up by 11. And the second half starts,
and
what happens?
Sudden, well, look, when someone gets hurt, the coaches upstairs will say, coach, the corner's out, you know, the right corner's coming in. And I just kept hearing over the headset, hey, they took out Levante David. They took out the coach. All their backups are in. I'm like, get, what are you talking about? And all that took place in the second half of a game. And you know what? We gladly won it then.
And you're not thinking –
No, I knew exactly.
2014 wasn't a playoff year for the Saints, so you're not thinking, well, you
We're
know what?
To win.
You still want to win.
We want to win them
you
all.
You still want to win, yeah.
The day that a guy walks in to tell me that, hey, we'd be a little bit better off if we didn't win, that, it's flawed thinking, and we want to play those teams.
And that's a great point. You can't turn that on and off. Winning is either part
it's
of your
craziness.
Culture or it's not.
It's craziness. And so, look, they lost that game. They got Jameis. And, you know, that was Lovie. And Lovie was asked to do that, right? And a year later, they're firing Lovie. All right? Peterson was asked to do that when they put in Nate Sudfeld. Everyone kept saying, why are they putting in Nate at halftime? We're all watching the game, and you know, their starter comes out of the game. And at that moment, like, they couldn't move the football. And well, they fired Peterson a year later. And I don't know the NBA game well enough to know. It certainly seems like the one player there is it's an important deal, and they have a lottery system to prevent that. But I can't think of an example one time that you could point to in our league. If you just took the last 20 Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, for instance, and say, well, that's how they were acquired, and then they went on to be successful. That's someone who's got the wrong person's ear in a building that the owner shouldn't be listening to. You ought to just turn the music up real loud when someone comes to tell him that's what we want to do. And that's just the truth.
This is why you're going to be great in media, because you're going to tell the truth. You're going to be honest. You're going to be open. You're going to be candid. And there's, because there's a lot of stuff that gets sugarcoated, and there's a lot of stuff that you know. You've seen it from the inside out, so you can give folks a window.
Yeah.
And you know how to explain it in a way that's accessible and understandable. It's not going to be filled with jargon. You're going
to
be great.
We're trying to win them all. And even when you're out of the playoff hunt, we're still learning to win them all and learning to win and competing to win. And it's important to see Jalen Hurts one more time in a regular season game. It's important to see, you know, these other players. And it's important to win that game. And, yeah, I'm kind of waiting for that other thing to ever happen. You know, that's the unicorn.
So one thing that helps you win is Zebra Technologies. Tell us what you have going on with that.
It's simple. Look, the better part of 8 years now, they track every player that's played in a game, regular season, preseason, postseason. They track the player movement. We get data from that. We help. It's just a little chip. This thing is the size of a little, you know, call it Coke top. And this fits in the shoulder pad, and basically we're able to see how fast a player is moving. For the production crews, they have the next-gen stats. My son loves that. You know, the fastest running back, Derrick Henry, hit 22 miles an hour. That comes from this. Player safety relative to training camp, you know, how far these guys are traveling in a practice. Someday we're going to have this, and we already have it in the ball, but someday we're going to, that punt that goes out of bounds and we mindlessly walk until...
Until we stop. And act like we know where the ball went out.
Yeah, that's nuts. We have a way to tell you exactly where it went out, and we're going to do that sooner than later.
Why is it taking so long? Why are we still doing two sticks with 10 yards of chain?
I'm going to say this, though, in defense of the two sticks and the 10 yards of chain. Periodically, and it's changed, we can't get measurements as much, but don't you think there's some pretty cool drama when they place that chain?
And when Gene Steratore does this?
Yeah. So I don't think that's going away anytime soon. But the randomness of a ball flying out of bounds, you know, and the current method of which we measure where it went out at and the plane it went out at is crazy. And then also, look, when it crosses the goal line, I think it's helpful if the chip's in the ball and the minute it hits the plane of the goal line, that we're going to have a light, and that's going to that shot clock light, if you will, is going to allow us to look closer as to where the knee is. So there's some basic things that are going to evolve because of this. But they're a great league sponsor, and they're good for the teams. They help us. They really help us be more efficient with work. You know, if you want to, we can actually look up data and tell us, you know, how often is Cooper Kupp inside versus outside, and then if he's ever outside of this person, it's 100% pass or run, that kind of stuff.
So when you go to the media, you will have occasions like this where you're interviewing someone and you will have to ask a tough but fair question. So here's a tough but fair question.
Absolutely.
Have you called or will you call Mike McCarthy and say, don't worry about me, don't think about me, don't look over your shoulder, just go do your thing? Have you had that conversation?
I haven't. And you know what? That's a good idea because I felt like it took place for a while with Jason Garrett, a good friend of mine who I coached at the Giants, still a close friend to this day, and I consider Mike someone who's a close friend. And Mike's done it long enough. We both entered the league as head coaches the same year in 06.
You wanted the Packers job.
He got the
original.
Yeah, and so we're of the same age, and we're of the same background. And look, our paths have been different, but I think I'm his big fan, and I think he's one of those guys who's a fantastic coach. I had this whole conversation with Saints ownership the week prior to the wild card round, and Mrs. Benson said, take a week, go on vacation to Mexico, and before you come back with that answer, because I knew then I wanted to step away, and sure enough, that first round game, Dallas loses, and I'm like, ah. It would have been so much easier that I had the Tuesday before that. You know what I mean?
But it's good you didn't do it the Tuesday after.
The Tuesday after was like...
That's when all hell broke loose.
Yeah, that's like, no one can remember what happened on the Tuesday after. That was when like a UFO landed or something. A lot of stuff happened.
It's great to have a chance to see you in person. It's great to talk to you. And it's going to be very interesting to see how things go in your media career. It's going to, You know, we're both old enough to remember E.F. Hutton. Remember the E.F. Hutton commercials?
Absolutely.
When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. When Sean Payton talks, people need to listen. And I can listen all day. I mean, you did a 90-minute press conference, and at no point did I think, my God, would he just wrap it up? So that tells me you're going to be great in the media.
No,
you got great things
it.
To say, and I can't wait to see what you have to say and hear what you have to say. That's it.
For now,
we'll be back with plenty more PFT Live here from the Super Bowl right after this.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Tannehill under center, Derrick Henry the lone setback. Henry gets the carry, four up the right side, breaks a tackle at the 30. There he goes to the 40. Henry's off to the races. Nothing but green in front of him as he goes down the left sideline. 76 yards. The touchdown for Derrick Henry, his 8th of the year. And Henry lights a fire in Nashville.
That was one of the memorable Monday night games of the season, featuring our next guest. The King is here. I'm surprised. Last year you had the throne. I'm surprised you're not taking the throne with you for these.
I know. I should have brought it.
That would have been great. They could carry you in. You know how they do the thing? Yeah, yeah, carry you in on the throne and put you up here. King Henry, Derrick Henry, great to see you, pal. How's everything?
Everything's good. Great to be here.
Let's start with a moment like that. When you break free and you know you're gone, what's the feeling? What's the thought process, if there even is one, when you're running to the end zone and you know they're not going to get you?
Just hyped up, looking forward to seeing my teammates in the end zone.
No. Do you check video screen?
No, not really. I'm looking straight ahead. I'm trying to get to the end zone.
You know, it doesn't matter. They're not going
to
get you.
I'm looking to the end zone. I'm ready to go get six.
Yeah. It was a great season until it wasn't, obviously, mm-hmm. and it was a huge surprise for everyone watching the game. I'm sure it was a surprise for you. After mm-hmm. that Colts game, and it felt like everything's set up for the Titans and everything's falling together, and then we start hearing news that you've got a foot injury that may require surgery. When did you first know there was a problem with your foot?
First quarter.
But that Colts game?
Yeah.
Because I remember we saw images of you on the sideline, maybe with your shoe off.
Mm-hmm.
What told you something was wrong?
It was a running play, which I got hit in the backfield, and then the next play I went on a motion behind the quarterback, and I tried to run. I was like, whoa, something feels a little funny. And then we went out that series and went to the sideline. I was like, hey, my foot feels weird. And then after a while, when I put my cleat back on, it just never felt back right, and I knew something was wrong.
When you find out you're going to have surgery, walk us through that process, because everything was going so well. You're on pace for 2,000 yards again, and then it's over just like that. Give us a thought of what you experience when you get that news, and you have to focus your efforts on getting yourself healthy and come back as you did.
Devastated, because I've never been hurt during the season with a significant injury, missing a lot of time. So I was devastated. Took a little while to process about the surgery and, you know, just taking it all in. You know, now it's just the road to recovery and doing everything I can to get back to possibly play again this past year.
When did you know that you were going to be able to make it back? Because a lot of people just thought serious foot injury, surgery, meh. Once we started hearing you may come back, that was a stunner. When did you first know you had a shot to get back and play?
When I started getting back on the field, running and stuff, and seeing how I felt and getting comfortable, I knew I had a chance to make it back.
When you got back in the playoff game, Did it feel like maybe, you know, I wish I would have had a game under my belt? Like, did you feel rusty at all when you came back?
I mean, it's still gonna be some rust, because I haven't played in 9 games. You
right.
know what I'm saying? So, it was probably a little bit of rust. And you know, in that game, you know, we all think we should have played better. I feel like I could have played better, and did some different things to help us win. But at the end of the day, we didn't play the way we needed to win that game.
You guys have been knocking on the door the past few years. What do you think needs to happen to kick it open?
Play a complete game. Take advantage of opportunities when they're there, especially in the playoffs. You know, you got to be able to capitalize on things, play sound football in all three phases, finish games the way we want to finish them, and, you know, let everything else take care of itself. But we just got to play a complete game and, you know, do the things that we know that we do well and, you know, just play well in all three phases.
I mean, you guys were the better team, frankly, that day against the Bengals. And I know it doesn't matter if they score more points. What advice would you have for the Rams? Because I think the Bengals are dangerous if you let them hang around.
You let them hang around, they're going to bite you. It's going to be on. But I just tell them to, you know, make the plays when they're there. You know, don't let them hang around. Don't let the momentum shift too much. Disrupt the quarterback. They got guys, pass rushers to get to the quarterback. Play the way they've been playing throughout the playoffs with Cooper Kupp, the running pass, blending off of each other, and, you know, just make the plays that need to be made, especially in a big game like that. Whoever capitalizes on the plays and make the plays that need to be made usually wins the game.
What do you say to the Ryan Tannehill haters out there?
Look, everybody has adversity. One game doesn't define a player. It's not just one person out there playing by itself. You know, it's a team effort. And things like that happen sometimes. But at the end of the day, I know who Ryan is. I know the type of player that he is, that he's going to let that fuel him and not get down on himself. And, you know, we all back him. We all behind him. And, you know, we all going to stick together and come back better.
Now, you guys beat the Ravens a couple of years ago after they had a bye week. You played in the wild card round. And then this year, the Titans had the bye week. The Bengals played in the wild card round. Does that make it harder, you think, if the team that didn't play in the wild card round to kind of get going, and you're playing a team that just won a playoff game, does it make it harder for the one seed sometimes to have that week off? And I know you didn't play in week 18, but for the rest of your team.
No, not really. It's just in the playoffs, either you're going to take advantage of opportunity or you're not. And the team that does advances, and that's just the way it is. You win or go home. So, you know, you get an extra week with a game off, and you go into the second round, and by that time you should be hitting on all cylinders, and obviously we didn't take advantage of that.
Mike Vrabel, coach of the year. Surely they got that one right.
For sure got that one right.
What makes him special?
You know, he's played this game for a long time and played at a high level and played in Super Bowls, so he understands the players. He knows, you know, what we go through every day, and he's a hands-on coach. He takes care of us. And then, you know, you see the job that he's done with all the injuries that, you know, we had this year, and still being able to secure the number one seed, and those guys still playing at a high level. It just speaks volumes of what he demands out of the players and coaches, and was very deserving of that award.
You had 91 different guys play this year.
91.
You broke the record in week 12.
Yeah.
That's how many guys
That's
you
crazy.
Had this year.
That is crazy.
Who you like Sunday?
Oh, I was doing interviews earlier, and I told him last 2 years I have been wrong. So I'm not going to pick a winner. I'm just going to say I hope it's a nail biter. Hope everybody balls out, and, you know, whoever wins, they're the champions.
Well, if it's a nail biter, it's going to be the Bengals, because Joe Burrow's going to find a way. If the Rams are going to win this thing, they got to come out, and they got to step on the gas
rolling,
and stay there, right?
Yeah, I feel you on that one.
All right, tell us about Old Spice.
Old Spice. So Old Spice has this new gentleman's blend, and it smells amazing. It's very good for your skin. They have it where you can put it on your skin, they have it in body wash, and they have it in deodorant, which is long lasting. It smells good, and I'm a person that likes to smell good. So if you want to smell good, either after a workout or when you're just getting up and get your day started, Old Spice Gentleman's Blend is what you need to smell amazing.
Now, do you have to be a gentleman to use it, or does using it make you a gentleman?
Makes you a gentleman because you're smelling good. So when you smell good, you feel like a gentleman. You want to be around people. You're feeling great. You're up. You're going. So
there's hope for me. What you're saying?
It's hope.
All I gotta do is use it.
Yes. All you gotta do is use it, and you're gonna be good. You're gonna smell good for the rest of the day.
All right.
Whenever you use it,
gentleman, king, he's the man. He does it all. Next year, I don't want to see you next year.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want you here next week.
Coming back with vengeance, for sure.
That's right. I want you at practice right now.
Yes,
getting
sir.
Ready for Super Bowl
yes, sir,
57.
For sure.
All right.
Right now.
Derrick Henry, we'll be back with more PFT Live right after this. There it is, the announcement from 2-2-22, the Washington Commanders, and the man who is in command of the Washington Commanders. Joined us now, two-time NFL Coach of the Year, formerly with the Panthers. now with the Washington Commanders. It has taken me a while.
Yeah.
Because I'm so used to saying Washington football team.
Yep.
Washington Commanders, Ron Rivera. Ron, great seeing you.
Thank you, Mike. Good to be here.
I was thinking earlier today when I first met you, and I remember, I'm sure you don't, but it was at the hotel in Dallas before Super Bowl 45. You had just gotten the job with the Panthers because I had been a big, hey, would somebody please hire Ron Rivera? Would somebody pay attention to what he does against Peyton Manning? Maybe somebody from the AFC South should hire Ron Rivera. You had just gotten the job, and you were with Greg Knapp, who passed earlier this year or earlier last year. And I just remember talking to you that day. And it's like when you're at the Super Bowl, all that stuff comes back. But it's great seeing you again. It's been 11 years, and everything's going great for you as a coach, and it's been great to see it.
Thank you. Now, I've been very fortunate. You know, I've had some really good teams. I have some really good players, and that's what we're trying to do right now. We're trying to build one of those teams, one of those cultures, I think, that you can win with and sustain it.
How close do you think that is to happening?
You know, there may be a couple of players that we've got to be able to secure. One of the positions we've got to get and take care of, obviously, is the quarterback position. You know, and again, is that guy on our roster? Can one of those guys ascend to be that type of guy? Or do we have to find it in the draft? Do we have to find it in free agency? Is there a trade we can make? We're going through that process right now. I mean, our scouts have been working real hard. Our personnel department's been doing a lot of work, you know, getting it to the coaches. So we'll see.
Isn't it amazing how, just in recent years, veteran quarterbacks are in play like never before, whether it's a trade or whether it's free agency. Teams are willing to part with guys they have, which gives opportunities for other teams to say, well, hey, maybe this is the guy that we need to get us to where we want to go.
You know, what it's become, too, it's about being able to sustain that. You know, I think when some people look at it and say, you know, this has run its course, let's see if we can make the deal. I think what Detroit did was masterful. Why? Because of the picks they're going to have. You know, they're building for the future. Okay, they went out, got a new head coach a year ago and said, hey, let's see what we can build into. So they let Matthew go and gave him an opportunity, you know, and now look where he is. Matthew, a veteran guy's gotten his opportunity, showing people what he's capable of. Let's see what happens the rest of the way. Would we love to have something like that? Yeah, if the right situation's available, we want to get in on it.
It's a great jacket.
Yes.
The new logo, the new vibe, the new feel. Is that something that you try to seize on? And get it into the locker room, everything about the team.
Absolutely.
We're going to take this and run with it.
Yeah, we are. You know, because what we're trying to do is, you know, we're trying to start a new chapter in our history. A lot of tough things have happened in the last few years, several years. And what we want to do is we want to build away from that as far as football is concerned. I understand the seriousness of the situations, and we don't want to downplay those. But what we want to realize is that when it comes to football, guys, let's focus in on developing and building our own culture and then building our own legacy. Let's honor the past. We had some great years. Joe Gibbs did a tremendous thing, winning 3 Super Bowls, 3 different quarterbacks. We want to honor those guys. We want to make sure they know that, hey, we'll never forget their legacy. But in the same time, we want to develop our own. So it's an opportunity for us guys to go out and build who we are, who we're going to be for years to come. And that's what I'm trying to get across to our players right now.
The workplace issues that are well documented that preceded you. Mm-hmm. You got nothing to do with it.
Yep.
It's not on your watch. But you're there as part of the cleanup, as part of the move forward, as part of the distraction. How do you keep it? And I don't want to delve into the weeds. We've covered it, and we're going to continue to cover it because it's an important story. But how do you, as coach of the team, not let any of that stuff get through essentially the firewall between legal issues, business issues, and football issues?
Well, you know, you got a little saying that that a friend of mine has used and shared with me, and that is, hey, let's focus in on what's important. Okay, and let's keep the interesting stuff over here. And so I tell our guys, hey, when we come to football, when we're on that field, when we're in those meeting rooms, okay, let's focus in on the game. When we step away from it, we can't. So let's go ahead and, hey, let's be respectful and let's make sure everybody understands we get it and we're doing the best we can to change. That's one of the things that I really appreciate, that I've been given the autonomy to go out and make decisions on personnel hiring, whether they're people in football front office or they're people on our football team. I've been given that opportunity to do that, and that's why I've hired the people that I've hired. You know, and I have hired people, I've hired women. And the reason I've hired women, because when I open up that pool, okay, and whether they're minorities, whether they're women, it doesn't matter, I've created the opportunity to make sure I get the best people. So I've done that. Why? Well, I hired Jennifer King because she did two internships for me. She worked in college football. She worked in the pro league in the spring. So she's earned the opportunity. Okay, I hired Natalia Durantes as my chief of staff. Why did I do that? Because Natalia was at Texas A&M working her way up the ranks there and came highly recommended. I interviewed her. I love the personality. I love who she is, and I believe she's going to help us go forward. So those are the things that I've been able to do. Why? Because I believe those are the right things for us.
On the issue of minority hiring of coaches, as of 10 days ago, it was you, Mike Tomlin, Robert Saleh, the only three minority coaches in the NFL. Then came the Brian Flores lawsuit. I was blown away by the fact that you got a guy who's basically coming to the table and he's putting his career on the line mm-hmm. as a practical matter. I mean, we know how it works. There's only 32 teams.
Yep.
I never thought anyone would ever do that. And I think the NFL thought no one would ever do that, which may have been one of the reasons why the NFL never really changed, because they knew they were never going to face what Brian Flores decided to do.
First of all, I think what Brian's doing is courageous, and it really truly is bringing everything to the forefront and to the light. And I think it is important, because the biggest problem, in my opinion, that minorities face is that people don't know these guys. You have to get to know who they are to give them opportunities. I have a friend who's in sales, and one of the things he's always told me is that you need three elements if you're going to sell. Okay, people have to get to know you, people have to get to like you, and people have to get to trust you to buy from you. And so we've got to find ways to put people on the owner's radars, the president's radars, the GM's radars. And maybe it takes something like what Brian's doing to get people to focus in and realize this is serious. So let's find avenues to do that. Well, to me, we have a Super Bowl, we have a combine, and we have owners meetings. Those are three great opportunities to bring a crowd of people that people saying, hey, these are the next ones. Let's bring them in. Let's get them to spend some time with the decision makers to help them, that when now we get into the new cycle, it's not all of a sudden, well, who's this? Oh, okay. No. Oh, yeah, I remember him. I got a chance to meet him. You know, let's sit down. Let's talk. I think if we can educate them on these people that are available, it might help. But we got to do something.
You're also a member of the competition committee, which will set the table for mm-hmm. the owners as to rule changes that possibly will happen for 2022. Where do you stand when it's time to sit in the meeting room and discuss this, and it comes to you and they say, Coach, what do you think about the overtime rule? What would you say?
I have no issue with the overtime rule. I really don't. And the reason being is whatever the rules are, we're going to play by them. And everybody says, well, they flip the coin. Nobody, and if they get it, you never get a chance. Well, to me, the answer really is play defense. You had four quarters to play defense to make something happen, to win the game. Now we're going to get into a fifth quarter, okay? If you make a play during that fifth quarter, nobody says anything.
Right.
Okay?
Like the Bengals did against the Chiefs.
Absolutely. Nobody said anything about not liking the rule at that point. But the week before, everybody had an issue. I get that. I do, but let's be honest now. You had four quarters to win it, and if it happens to me, then so be it. But that's what the rules are. I like it, especially once we get into the postseason. I'm not a fan of it only being 10 minutes in the regular season. But in the postseason, it's 15-minute quarter. If it goes that long, then you play a sixth one, then so on and so on. Those are the rules. Do you deserve a chance? Well, create your chance.
The problem, though, is as we see the game continue mm-hmm. to skew toward offense,
yes.
and we see how the officials are protecting the quarterbacks,
yes.
and, you know, 15 yards here, 15 yards there. And I think that's why they changed the rule after the 2009 season when the Saints had the walk-off
yep.
field goal. It's like it's too easy to get in field goal range
yep.
by winning the coin toss. Let's at least make it a touchdown. I think now we're at the point where you can say it's too easy for a good offense to score a touchdown on the first drive.
No, and that's legit. That really is. That will be something we'll look at, because we'll get all the stats. They'll break it down for us, and we'll be able to discuss it. But that's a good point, because you do have to look at that, because I don't disagree that it's becoming easier for offenses to move the ball because of the way the rules are set. But maybe we need to look at those rules. Maybe there's something we can do to slow those rules down a little bit. You know, I've always been one that, I'll be honest with you, the one that I always struggle with is the grounding, throwing the ball out of bounds when you break the ball. I mean, I've always struggled with that. Here you are, you flush the quarterback, you get all the coverage downfield, everything's great, but now he can just throw the ball and get away with it. I've always, you know, why not make him, hey, you either slide get out of bounds or try to throw the ball downfield.
I'd never thought of it that way. But, again, these rules that are aimed at keeping the quarterbacks upright, keeping the quarterbacks in the games, especially with 17 regular season games now. The taunting rule was a big deal this year. The rule's been on the books forever. People didn't realize that. There was an effort to make it a point of emphasis in 2014.
Yep.
It came back around this year. You've spoken out in favor of it. My only concern with it is this. There's no way to always know when two guys are talking after a play that it's a taunt. Maybe a guy's not happy. We've seen this a few times. Guy's not happy because of the way he got hit. He's not taunting. Yep. He's saying, why'd you do that?
Yep.
I feel like moving forward, there's got to be a greater sensitivity to what that interaction really is.
No, and I don't disagree, because that was the intent of it, was we wanted to make sure that what guys were doing wasn't provoking something else. You know what I mean? I mean, we had these melees where four, five, six guys, you know, get into a fight. We had melees where guys were coming off the bench. We're trying to prevent those things. That's what the intent of the rule really was. You know, the emphasis of, hey, let's don't let it escalate to the next thing, because we don't want to see that. We our fans don't need to see that type of action, and that's what the intent. So we did somehow miss in terms of getting it interpreted to the referees. I don't disagree with you. One of the things I do think we need to think about when we start getting into these personal fouls with these unsportsmanship-like conducts, we need to take a longer look at that, because what happens in some of those cases, it's the second guy that gets provoked. And that's another thing that needs to be taken a look at. So there are a lot of little detail things we got to clean up. But I think one of the problems we have is that we also have time constraints. You know, we want these games played right around 3 hours. And if you start having a flurry of penalties, now it kind of skews that and you get away from what we're trying to do.
Before we started, we were talking about Coach Madden and your work with him when you were on the coaches subcommittee. You started to tell me a great story about how you first met him. And I said, let's hang on. I want to hear about it when we're talking live. So before I let you go, I want to hear your story about how you got to know Coach Madden and what an impact he had on you as a football player and as a coach.
Well, when I was a kid, he and his family were vacationing up in Monterey, California. They were on Cannery Row. And, you know, here he comes. I mean, we know who he is. He's this iconic figure. I mean, he's from Oakland. I'm in Monterey. It's an hour and a half away. And I see him and his family. And I'm with my buddies. Hey, that's Coach. You know, I'm going to go up and talk to him. Like, no. I said, no, I'm going to talk to him. So I go up. I talk to him, introduce myself. You know, here I was. I was this punky high school kid. You know, I start talking, and we're talking and congratulating him and stuff. And I said, you know, I'm going to play in the NFL someday. And he just looked at me and goes, all right, kid, follow your dreams. Follow your gut. Signed me an autograph. I still have that autograph.
Wow.
In fact, I was home last week celebrating my dad's 87th birthday, and I took a look at it. I still have it. My mom has it in my scrapbook, and it was really cool. It was really cool to see. But, you know, I fast forward into where I am today. 9 years ago, after my second season with the Panthers, Mr. Richardson told me, you need a mentor. I want you to call a friend of mine, John Madden. I said, oh, I know Coach. He said, well, he's expecting your call. So I called Coach. We talked a little bit, and he said, Ron, I'd love you to come out and spend time with me. What I want you to do is I want you to take a look at these games. You're 3-13 in games decided by 6 or less. Go back and look and see what you could have done different. So I said, okay. So I went, I did it. I wrote this nice little report up, about 15, 20 pages, somewhere in there. I can't remember how many. But I bring it into Coach, and we're sitting there, we're talking. I said, oh, I got that report you wanted me to do. He looked at me and goes, I said, yeah, you know, the one you told me about those 13 games I lost. He goes, oh, yeah, that's not for me. That's for you. He goes, what did you learn? And I said, well, I learned I was going by the book. And truthfully, what I was doing is I was doing the safe thing.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Ron, there is no book. He said, you've coached enough. You've played enough to know. Go from your gut. Go from your experience. And from that point on.
That's where Riverboat Ron came from.
Exactly.
That's Coach Madden. Coach Madden is responsible for Riverboat Ron. Now they're all Riverboat captains.
Yes.
Now you're going against the grain if you don't roll the dice.
Well, you know, to me, it's about feel. It really is, because I've done that where I didn't go for it. I punted. Why? Because I felt we're playing good defense. We could trap them. And we did. We trapped the team down there, got the ball back, and then scored the game winner.
And you know what? People get mad because they think I'm anti-analytics. I'm in favor of having all the numbers at your disposal. Yep. But at the end of the day, somebody who's got years of experience, who's been through situation after situation after situation, understands which way the wind's blowing, what's happening, how you're playing, how they're playing, and it all comes into one pot that gets stirred, and you have a gut feeling on what to do.
Well, the analytics aren't there to make the decision. They're to help you. They're a tool to be used, to sit there and look at it, because one thing analytics can't tell you about is the weather. It can't tell you about the referees. It can't tell you about the opponent. Okay? It can just tell you what the numbers tell you. So you've got to have a good feel for what's going on at that moment with your team, with your opponent, with the fans, with the referees?
All right, well, Coach, whenever you're ready to hang up the Letterman jacket for good, you can have Sim's seat because this is more fun. Sorry, Chris, you weren't here today. That's what happens. You got Wally Pipped by Ron Rivera. Everybody out there, thanks for all your time this week, and we appreciate all of our guests, Coach Rivera, and everyone else who spent some time with us. Enjoy the Super Bowl. We'll see you bright and early Monday morning.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.